We've been waiting for a couple of days like this. And so, yes. But it's always good to find ourselves in the house of the Lord, wanting to learn, wanting to sing and worship, fellowship, and all the things that God has for us. And praying we'll continue to do that. And so, if you have your Bibles, we're going to start a series here today and to the book of Jonah. So we're going to be in there here for the next few weeks for sure. I'm going to let you know that I can tell that Phil had this before me. I did not check it. I thought you guys had one more song. I was going to get myself ready back there. All right. Anyway. I don't know if I have little ears in him. I always have to squeeze it down. We should know that God loves people. Amen. And God loves people. It's easy to say we believe that God loves people, but God loves people that don't act like God loves people that, well, let's just say God loves all people. People that are believers and people that are not. People that are in their life of sin, separated from God. God loves them. And sometimes believers get into a position where they just begin to think that only God loves them, that only God loves believers. And the fact is, we know that the Bible tells us differently, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever should believe in him not perish but have everlasting life. It was for all sinners. But sometimes believers struggle with that, especially when it involves them. Today we're going to look at a man who God is choosing, this preacher, prophet, to go to a city. And this city would be a city that had fought against and was really a thorn in, sometimes it was a thorn in Israel's side. So we'll kind of look at almost being like an enemy. But God is now wanting Jonah to do something. We're going to pick it up here in Jonah chapter 1. And we're going to begin here in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me. Father, again, thank you for this morning. Give us this time that we dive into your word, that we may learn from it and learn to see what your spirit has for us, learn its historical pieces, but Lord, how we can apply it to our lives. We lift it up to you and we lift this time up to you. In Christ's name, amen. So God is wanting to send Jonah to a city that is full of evil and corruption. He wants to send him to there to preach against it. He's got a message that he is supposed to preach. But what does the scripture tells us? It says this, that the Lord told Jonah, he says, get up. He says, I want you to get up and I want you to go. So he's getting up. He is getting up and he is getting ready to go. But he is not heading to the place where God wants him to go. Verse 3 says, Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. So here we find that God has told Jonah to get up and go. In that to get up and go, also we see that he gets up, but he goes in another direction. I want to tell you today, there are a lot of Christians that are going in the wrong direction. They're going in the wrong directions, but not only Christians are going in the wrong directions, churches are going in the wrong directions. What direction are you supposed to go? One, we go biblical. You got to stay biblical. But God also calls churches, and he gives churches visions, and he gives people callings in their life, and he calls people to do certain things. And when we don't do what God has for us, then we are not headed in the right direction. And so here, God has a group of people that he wants them to hear the word, because he says there's evil over there, and I want to put some influence in that city. And as we go, we'll see this city is a very, very big city. It has over 100,000 people in it. And so we see that God is sending one man to go to give a message. One man to go and give a message. And so we see that Jonah has chosen to go in another direction, the wrong direction. I think sometimes we even find ourselves, when we going against God, we find ourselves, we're not going to have any peace. We're not going to have any inner peace. We're not going to have anything inside of us that gives us a joy. Anything that gives us that inside peace, that spiritual peace that we should have. Jonah chooses to go into another direction. Anytime you choose to go against God and you go into another direction, you're taking yourself further from Him spiritually. But that does not mean that He is not there. I'm going to tell you that. That doesn't mean He is not there. So we see here in the beginning, this is a big major piece. Everything is shifted because man chose to do something different than what God has chosen for that man to do. This church is the same way. God has called and given a vision to this church, and it is bigger than we can do on our own. But we've been faithful. We've struggled at times, but we've been faithful, and we continue to go down that path. And there are times when some of us want to just go off and do our own thing. We want to run off, and we want to leave. Now, sometimes there are other things and other reasons, but when we just want to go and do our own thing, and God's placed you here, stay here, do what you need to do, find your place. But here it is. Jonah is decided. He is going in another direction. He isn't going to go by foot. He's not going to go by horse. He is going to go by boat. He wants to get out of there as fast as he can. He wants to flee the presence of the Lord. I thought as believers, we were trying to get in the presence of the Lord. We're trying to get into the presence of the Lord. We have a person here. Jonah's a great man, but he wants to get away from the presence of the Lord. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh. He doesn't want to go there. But he's choosing to pick his own route. He chooses to pick his own route. And when we pick our own route, it doesn't lead to very good places. So verse 4 says, "But the Lord threw a great wind into the sea. And such a great storm arose on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart." Could you imagine God suddenly says, "Yep, because you're disobeying me, I'm going to cause nature. I'm going to create a storm because you are not listening to me." That's huge. It's going to be a great storm out there. It was a great storm. It was a big storm. And here's what I'm also thinking. I'm sure they weren't the only ship out in the sea. This is the beginning of a nightmare, which should give us understanding that our choices and decisions don't just affect us. It affects others. And when we don't follow what God wants us to do, it'll affect us in a negative way. God threw a great wind into the sea. And the ship looks like it's getting ready to break apart. We may be able to think that we can run from the presence of God, but we really can't. We think we're running away from God, but God is everywhere. God sees everything. And He is absolute. Verse 5, "And the sailors were afraid. And each cried out to his God. And they threw the ship's cargo into the sea to lighten the load. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down to the lowest part of the vessel and is stretched out and fallen into a deep sleep." Now we see that we think that sometimes when we read this, that, oh, he just went down and he's just chilling out and he's just sleeping. Let me tell you, I think he knows what's going on. I think he's into a deep sleep. I think there's a part there that the Lord is upon him already. I'm pretty sure he's not feeling good about himself. The last time you walked away, that you were supposed to be doing something, you walked away from it. And one part of it, it felt right in the flesh, but the other part of it, your spirit will not feel peace. And he is in a deep sleep. He is in a place now that he has stretched out, trying to forget, trying to work through what he's going through. But the captain approached him and said, "What are you doing sound asleep? Get up. Call to your God. Maybe this God will consider us and he won't perish. We won't perish." "Come on," the sailors said to each other, "let's cast lots. And then we'll all know who this is to blame for this trouble that we're in." So they cast lots and the lot signaled out Jonah. Now we have this whole conviction piece. Oh my, we have the trial. Pretty much the trial. They drew lots and it lands on Jonah. Then it says, and they said to him, tell us, what's the blame for this trouble that we're in? What is your business and where are you from? What is your country and what people are you from? And he answered them, I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And the men were seized by a great fear and said to him, what is this you've done? And the men knew he was fleeing from the Lord's presence because he had told them so. Jonah is in a really, now he's in a really bad mess. He is in this ship. He's in it. They woke him up. They're all together. And now everything is pointing to him. He is to blame. And is he to blame? Of course he is. Sometimes Christians are to blame and sinners are not. We always think it's the sinners that are to blame. The world is to blame, but sometimes it is us not doing what God has called us to do, not living the way that God has called us to live. And so we're finding here that this is a mess. You see, sometimes we can read, and we read in scriptures, and Jesus tells us a great parable about the lost son. The son goes off and squanders all the living that his father gave to him, and he goes all the way out and lives in the pig pen. And sometimes we see the father never went after him. God never went after him. God says, you're going to figure it out there. You're going to get so low, you're going to figure it out. But I want to remind you, sometimes God goes right with you and says, this is it. I'm going to go with you because I'm not going to let you get as far as you think you're going to get. I'm not going to let you get to Tarshish. For the prodigal son child, it's like, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to party. I'm going to live lavishly. I'm going to the city and I'm having a great time. I said, okay. We'll see how long that lasts. But sometimes God will walk right there with you. He'll get in front of you. He'll be behind you and he'll be right with you and he'll watch you suffer and he'll allow you to suffer. Listen, Satan's not the only one that wants you sometimes to suffer. Sometimes it is us, because sometimes it is discipline that God puts on us. Sometimes it is a time of testing, and sometimes God uses it in both. So let's not say the devil is causing all my problems. Sometimes it is discipline that God is putting on. This issue was not caused by the devil. This issue was caused by Jonah running from the presence of God, running from his calling to go to Nineveh. Nineveh's over there. They don't have no clue that God's getting ready to intervene. They have no clue that God is getting ready to intervene. You know, this city never knew that we were going to do these ministries. Did we ask them if we could do them? No. Did we go downtown and ask them if we can do this, 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 and this? No. We just started doing them. And then there was things we had to make sure that we adjusted, that the houses had fire, smoke alarms, things that were common sense. And God called us to do something before this city even knew we were coming. God saw the things that were needed in this community. I didn't know they needed to be here. You didn't know they really did. We thought this would be a great thing, or that would be a great thing. But God had a plan and he put it forth. And this is what he said. He said, you're going to go. You're going to go to Nineveh. I remember when God called to come down and start New Life. I said, I'm not going there. I'm done with Huntington. I'm staying in Fort Wayne. I'm just going to be an evangelist. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to try. I'll just go evangelize here. And God shut all those doors down because I kept hearing that other town, the town here, this town that I didn't want to come to. Huntington. And so God gave a great vision. Jonah chose to flee from the Lord. God's not going to let him go run out there and find the pig pen. He's going to put him in a worse place than that. It says in verse 11, so they said to him, what should we do to you so the sea will calm down for us? For the sea was getting worse and worse. And he answered them, pick me up. Throw me into the sea so that it will calm down for you. For I know that I am to blame for this great storm that is against you. I'm going to tell you, believers know when they're wrong. But we are foolish enough sometimes that we will keep being wrong. And we're okay being wrong sometimes. And even though it makes us feel uncomfortable, and we know that we're upsetting God, we still do wrong. We still want to be wrong because we like that part more than we like doing what God wants. We want to be in that area, even if we know that we're wrong. And Jonah is wrong, and he admits it. It is all his fault. He knows it's all of him. He knows it's all of him. He says, I'm the one to blame. I am the one to blame. How hard is that for us to even say? Even to our family, our spouse, or even to the church, or even to our boss at work, I'm the one to blame. That's one thing I don't hear much in life anymore is, I'm the one to blame. That was my fault. Why are we so built up with pride? We struggle with it because we always think that we're right. Even though when we know we're not right, we still want to appear to be right. God's not going to let him run very much farther. God has a plan for this man, and this plan is not for him just to be all that God has called him to be, but his plan, original part of the plan, is here. You're going to the city of Nineveh, but I created you for this. This is one of your, this is my purpose for you at this moment, and you're going. Sometimes God pulls us and pushes into things that we don't like. Sometimes God picks places to go where you don't like. You're probably like, I love the people of Huntington. I didn't want to come here, but I love the people of Huntington. Over the years, I've learned to like it a whole lot more. Now I really don't want to live in Fort Wayne. It's gotten bigger and it is what it is. But sometimes God will call you. And when God calls you, he's not asking for your permission. Do you see that he's asking Jonah, Jonah, would you like to go? I don't see that in Scripture too much. Would you like to do this? Would you like to go here? I think I want you to do this. What do you think about this? God doesn't need my opinion. And he doesn't need my yes. He doesn't need my no. He doesn't need my okay. He don't need my resources. All he wants me to be able to do, all he wants you to be able to do is say this, yes, Lord, send me. Yes, Lord, use me. Yes, Lord. I'm here. I will be obedient. I will follow. And sometimes we think, oh, I'm a mother. I have two children, two, three children. We go to church, we do our thing, and God will never use me for anything else. My role is to raise my children. That is right. One of your roles is to raise up your children. But then when the church comes along and says, hey, we need nursery workers. No. What you're saying is like, I don't have time to invest in other people's kids. I can't do an extra hour. I can't come in 30 minutes because I want to do my own thing. Let me tell you something. When you came to Jesus, you gave your whole life to Jesus, and you ought to be following him with everything you got. Every minute belongs to him. You're not your own. It's a hard lesson to learn. You are not your own. You need to follow it out. And like I said, sometimes God will not allow you to go to the pig pen. He's going to allow you to go to another place. And we're going to be finding that out pretty soon. So he says, I know I'm the one to blame for this. So nevertheless, in verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land. But they couldn't because the sea was raging against them more and more. They didn't want to throw him over. They wanted to just get to the shore. They didn't want to be accused of that. These were sailors who worshiped all kinds of gods, and they didn't want to be accused and be judged for any cruel thing of throwing a person over. But verse 14 says, so they called out to the Lord, and they said, please, Lord, don't let us perish because of this man's life. And don't charge us with innocent blood. For you, Lord, you have done just as you have pleased. Here we find out that these are gentlemen that do not know the Lord. They said, Jonah, what God do you serve? They're just serving whoever. Here they're seeing, they see the power of God. And so here now you have lost people. Listen, even in a tragedy event, God still shows mercy. God still shows a way that he reveals himself, that even those who don't follow Christ, follow God, now begin to follow God. And then the one that's getting chastised and disciplined is the man of God. And then it says they picked him up. They picked up Jonah and they threw him into the sea. And the sea stopped its raging. Then the men were seized with a great fear of the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and they made vows. So here we find now we have these men who do not know God now becoming believers in God. They're becoming believers in God. Now does Jonah get to see all that? No. God doesn't need a believer to make himself known to other people. God has shown himself to people that were in this situation. I think it's a merciful thing that God is doing. He could have just let them subside to that, but they came over the great fear. God showed himself, calmed it all down, and as soon as they threw him in, the sea just calmed, the storm went away, and these men were feared. They were like amazed by the movement of God. God was doing something even for them. He was showing his mercy and his love for them. And again, we see who's rising up. We see the lost rising up. And we see the man of God physically going down in the water, and God's going to have a place for him that he cannot run from. It's an amazing thing that God looks at lost people. But then when we talk about lost people, we have to look in the mirror and see. It's an amazing thing to know that we ourselves have come to the Lord with the lifestyle that we once lived. God is working his works, I believe, in all his children. If you're a believer today, God is doing works in your life. I hope that you see it. But then there are some times when God says, get up. You're going to do something. And you just need to be ready for when that happens. And sometimes it's small things. Sometimes it's big things. And sometimes it's life-changing things. We are just called to be obedient. God will never take you to a place that he's not already there. God will never call you to something that you can do on your own. And God will never leave you into a place where he will not take care and provide. Here at New Life, we have struggled with that over the years of, we need provisions. We need finances. We need buildings. We need all the staff to fill all the positions that we have and all those things. And here it is. We can look over all these years that we've been doing this. God is taking care of all of those things. Have we had to make adjustments? Of course we've had to make adjustments. But God is taking care of every one of those. God wanted a church here and a small group come together and the church came to be. But God's vision wasn't stopped just with that. Doing the soup kitchen, the men's ministry, the women's ministry, the children's ministry, and whatever else he's got going on there. We continue to do those things. It's not because we're awesome, it's because he is awesome. It's not because we're powerful, it's because he is powerful. It's not because we have the resources, it's because he has the resources. It's not because we're highly educated, it's that he knows all things. It isn't because we are the who's who and the what's what. We're not any of those things. We're only what we are because God has allowed us to be. God is not impressed by buildings. He's impressed by what you do in those buildings for him. He's not impressed by all the things that the world is impressed by. God's impressed by obedience, by your love and your kindness and your forgiveness and your generosity and your givingness and how you use the spiritual gifts in your life. And how do you use that one spiritual gift, at least one, that God's Holy Spirit has given to you for the uplifting of God's people? Here we find a man today who said, I'm done. I'm not doing it. If he went to Tarshish, it means that he was quitting. To leave God's presence was mean. I'm quitting. He chose this day to quit. He chose that day to quit, and how quick this day has turned around into a nightmare for him. He chose to quit. And you never will win with God if you quit. Praise be to God that Jesus never quit. He went to the garden and he prayed. And he said, oh, that this cup would pass, but not my will, but thy will be done. Praise God that his will, God's will was done. So that you and I can assemble ourselves together and call upon his name and pray and read and understand and know and fellowship and sing praises to God Almighty. This church here is today is because we didn't quit. It's got whatever life existence that God has for it. You have more things that he's got planned for it. Why is he doing it? Because he has called us to do it. Where much is given, much is acquired. Where much has been entrusted, much more will be asked for. And he'll continue to do it. And he continues to supply it. He continues to do it. And we need to give him praise for it. We need to give him a thank you for it. We need to give our hands to him and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for seeing us and using us in this, picking all of us. Listen, we don't have a bunch of highly educated people here. Some of you are educated. Praise the Lord. You balance this out a little bit. But some of us are not. Many of us are not. Many of us are more in the low poverty, more of the lower income. And God is using us here to do something that even the most wealthiest churches in this whole area are not even doing. God has chosen us to do something, and it is, our town is not Nineveh, the town is Huntington. The county is Huntington, and the state is Indiana. And God is doing a work here, and we cannot turn around and run to another city. We cannot run away from what God has called us to do. You're on the ship, we're on it, we gotta go, we're doing this thing together. We're in this together. And if you want fresh testimony, you keep sticking around long enough and you get involved and you'll find you'll end up with new testimonies in your life. And sometimes you'll get testimonies where you're going to have to tell the whole story, and the stories where you're going to have to say, let me tell you a story, brother, where I was the one to blame. There are testimonies that we really didn't have to have. But because of our disobedience to God, God disciplines us and God will use the negative in our life for his glory, and it will become a testimony. This did not have to be a testimony, but later on it would be a testimony. This whole story would be a testimony. This first chapter did not, and second chapter should not have been a testimony. But out of disobedience, God did say it became now a testimony that we can learn from. And verse 17 says this, the Lord appointed. That means he picked. That means he chose. That means he prepared it. That means he provided it. The Lord appointed a great fish. Some people will say, oh, the version says a well. Does it really matter? Because a well is about just one gulp and you're in there, right? A great fish to swallow Jonah. It is one of the most remarkable verses in the whole Bible. Jesus walks on water. Peter walks on water and then sinks. Wow. Moses stands at the Red Sea. Whoop, and it parts. And it just parts. Man, there's a donkey. And Balaam's on his donkey. And the donkey ends up talking. That's another crazy one. But this one here is just out of this world. But yet it was in this world. God provided, the Lord provided a great fish. Now, what I've noticed in Scripture is sometimes, a lot of times it will say, God did this. It's the authority. God did this. God provided. God said this. God said that. But here he says, the Lord. The Lord over all. The Lord over our lives, the Lord over nature, the intimacy of the title of the Lord. The Lord is doing this out of compassion. The Lord is doing this out of love. The Lord is doing this because the Bible says in Hebrews that God disciplines those whom he loves. He is not disciplining Jonah because he doesn't love him. He's disciplining Jonah because he's got to get Jonah back on the right, in the right path. And to do this, God is going to provide a great fish to swallow him up. and going to stop him in his tracks. Not let him go on out to the pig pen and let him do his thing. No, we're stopping this run right now. You're not getting to Tarshish. But I want to tell you, Scripture says this. The fish swallowed Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, we would say that we'll see later on how disgusting being in that stomach of the whale was. But even as disgusting, as dark as it was, and as a place it was, the Lord was even there. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, to stop him in his tracks, to get his full, undivided attention, to remind him who God is, and remind him who he is. Jonah, you're a man, and I'm God. What does it really mean when we run from God? What we're saying when we run from God is, I don't want this appointment. I don't want this task. I don't want what you have in front of me. When it's saying I have another route. I have a better route, God. I'm going to run my route. I'm going to choose my lane now. I don't like your plan. I don't like those people. I don't want to do this. It's one thing to say it, because we all can vent. But it's another thing just to take off. And I want to tell you, Jonah's mind, body, and soul, he was done. He was done. But I want to remind you, you don't have the right to say you're done. God has invested too much into you. When you called upon the name of the Lord, He invested in you before you even called on the name of the Lord. He gave you an opportunity to come to Christ. But even with that, when you come to Christ and you realize and you confess your sins and you confess that you needed Christ and you needed a Savior in your life, you believe, Holy Spirit, God puts the Holy Spirit into every believer. The Holy Spirit gives everyone a spiritual gift, and He infills you with a desire and a hunger to live out the fruits of the Spirit and to be obedient, to learn, to be discipled, follow Christ in the baptism and take communion, remembrance of what God did, what Christ did on the cross and all those things, and to learn to serve. And He's there when you prayed for your kids when they were sick at 2 years old and you didn't know what to do. He was there when this was a mess and you lost your job. You didn't think you were going to get another job, and God provided. It may have took a while, but God is still opening doors and closing doors and all the things that's going on. You said, I don't know how we're going to get through the end of the week. Honey, I don't know how we're going to get to the end of the week. We don't have enough. And then there's a bill here. There's a bill there. And God worked all that out. And then when God says it's time for you to do something, and we say, no, I'm not doing it. Do you think that makes God happy? Does that cause Jesus to stop loving us? No. But sometimes it says, well, I think it's time for some discipline. And God disciplines those whom He loves. And believe me, this right here, this is true scripture of God disciplining a man. But not giving up on the man, but disciplining the man. Putting him in a spot where he's going to feel some suffering. He's going to feel some pain. He's going to feel some loneliness. He's going to feel a lot of loss. But it's in those moments when we call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? It's in those moments when we are reminded of the sins that we are committed. It's just in those moments that we remember how powerful God is. And it's in those moments when our mind fleets back and remembers all the things that God has done and all the answered prayers that He has done in our life. It wasn't done when He said, hey guys, I'm the one to blame. And they could take it and say, yeah, all right, we get it. But there's a little bit more when it comes to God. It's not just the words we say, is what's going on in here and what's going on. And so we see in the beginning, get up, go to that great city of Nineveh and preach against it because that evil has come up before me. And Jonah decided to flee. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly for 3 days and three nights. How quick things can change when you disobey the word of the Lord. Don't take God for granted. Amen. Don't take His blessings for granted. Don't take His callings for granted. Don't take His Holy Spirit for granted. God, the Bible tells us that God has a long arm. The Lord has a long arm. It reaches all over. New Life struggles in many areas at times. As I said before, that God has always been able and always able to work these things out. But I want to remind you, it's not always what God has done in the past, but it's also what is He doing today. What is He doing today? I believe today we're trying to be faithful. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to be faithful. But when you're trying to be faithful, sometimes that's right where you need to be. You're practicing your faith. You're living your faith out. And then when you think of the future and you're not sure about the future, always go back. What was the last thing that God told you? Keep doing that. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. God is opening doors. God's closing doors. He doesn't have to tell you when He opens them. He doesn't have to tell you when He closes them. He's working something out to make a path for you, to make a path for New Life, to continue to do what it needs to do. If you're running from the Lord, listen, you can even be coming to church and your body may be here, but your heart has ran from the Lord. There's only one way to get it right. And that's get before Him. Many of us have been like Jonah in our life. And we know that we can always come back and say, yep, it didn't work out for me that way. That run in the opposite direction did not work out for me. Because you know why? It's not supposed to. Your plans are not supposed to be better than God's plans. Your road and your routes are not supposed to be better than God's plans. Because His plan is righteous. His plan is perfect. And His plan is just for you. And collectively, it's for us. Let's keep following what God has for us in our lives. And let's keep following what God has for New Life. Amen? Because great things are yet to come for Nineveh. And we're going to see that. But praise God for those who are obedient to the Lord. Continue to follow. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to give God an opportunity, the Holy Spirit an opportunity to work.